you very much, Professor Lutz. Good morning, everyone. It's a real honor to be in Vienna together with our partners, the Wittgenstein Center and the Institute for Human Sciences, to present UNFPA's 2018 State of the World Population Report. And I would like to begin by thanking the Academy of Sciences for hosting this event, and also Professor Wolfgang Lutz for chairing this discussion. He, for us in UNFPA, is really a global figure in the area of demography, and it's a real honor that he is taking part in this conversation today. We're also very fortunate to have with us Dr. Tomasz Sobotka, who is one of the authors of the report you will have seen, and also Dr. Shalini Randeria, the rector of the IWM, who will give this additional perspective, complementary perspective on demography and democracy, and whether Europe really is facing a population crisis. So this year's report is entitled The Power of Choice, Reproductive Rights and the Demographic Transition. The report is about global fertility trends, but it's also about choice, or lack of it, and what that means for women, for couples, and for countries' prospects for development. The report makes the case that choice can change the world. But before I explain how, let me say a few words about what we mean by choice. Choice is about having the power and the means to make your own decisions about whether, when, or how often to have children, and how that power affects other choices in life. Choice is a right. 50 years ago, in fact, governments around the world affirmed the basic human right of parents to determine freely and responsibly the number and timing of their children. Typically, we speak of this right in a developing world context as the right of women to access family planning in order to meet their desire to have fewer children. In fact, over 200 million women in the developing world are still deprived of this fundamental choice because they don't have access to contraceptives. It may sound surprising, but reproductive choice is also limited in the most developed countries, including in Europe, just the other way around. Rather than struggling to have fewer children, people in European countries are struggling to reach the number of children that they'd like to have, which is generally around two. In Austria, parents have 1.5 children on average, and the European average is only slightly higher at 1.6. This gap between the number of children people want and the number of children they actually have also reflects a limitation of choice and rights. So why are some people in Europe unable to realize their fertility intentions? There are financial and economic factors. Having a bigger family is costly, financially risky, especially in times of crisis and instability. But there's another important factor that's received increasing attention over recent years, and that is the effect of persisting gender inequalities and gender norms. Women are highly educated in Europe and often want to pursue their careers. But in practical terms, when the time comes for having children, too many women still face the decision, career or family. Combining both can be challenging. Care for small children is often not available or affordable. School hours are not in sync with working hours. Flexible or part-time arrangements are rare and tend to harm women's careers. Maternity leave is essential, but too long maternity leave can drive women out of the workforce. And men don't always share the childcare and household burden on an equal basis. So the result is that many women end up with fewer children than they'd actually wanted. Governments can do more to reform their social and family support policies to ensure that women can have both a career and a family. And the examples of Sweden and other Nordic countries show that moving in this direction not only increases overall well-being, gender equality and economic performance, but also contributes to higher fertility. And in fact, in the report, there's a nice story from Sweden, and it gives the example of how Sweden has chosen this path without any sort of demographic targets whatsoever, but it has led to an increased fertility. We have long thought that more development equals low fertility. But in recent years, we've seen that this is no longer true. As developed countries move further up on the Human Development Index, fertility actually starts increasing again. And the only places where this is not happening are countries with more traditional gender norms that are not moving towards more gender equality. Dr. Sobotka will say more about this when he discusses the different trends in Europe. So in an effort to address low fertility in Europe, in the past, some countries have taken actions that restrict choices and violate women's rights. For example, by limiting access to family planning or denying young people the right to sexuality education. The State of the World Population 2018 report calls on countries to confront their demographic challenges not through fewer choices, but rather by enhancing rights and choices, making sure that childcare is affordable, that flexible work arrangements are available, that well-paid parental leave is available and taken by both parents, that men assume their equal share of household duties. These are all actions that enhance rights and expand choices. They enable women to start or expand families without giving up their careers. This is, of course, good for the individual, but it's also good for economic development. I'd like to finish by saying that the launch of this report is also a launch of a renewed effort on behalf of the United Nations Population Fund to ensure rights and choices for all. Next year is the 25th anniversary of the Program of Action of the International Conference on Population and Development, or ICPD, as it's called. And since 1994, the Program of Action has guided UNFPA programs in more than 155 countries and territories. The ICPD Program of Action was remarkable in its recognition that reproductive health and rights, as well as women's empowerment and gender equality, are cornerstones of population and development programs. While we've made enormous progress in transforming the Program of Action's vision for rights and choices for all into reality, we do have a long way to go still. Every year around the world, there are still 99 million unintended pregnancies because women don't have access to real contraceptive choices. Every year, more than 300,000 women die in childbirth during pregnancy because they don't have real choices in maternal health care. Every day, tens of thousands of girls are forced into marriages and are expected to start bearing children at puberty. They have no choices about any aspect of their lives. Next year, UNFPA will lead the global effort to extend choices to those who have been left behind so that by 2030, the target year for achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, there are zero unmet need for modern contraception, zero preventable maternal deaths, and zero gender-based violence and practices that harm women and girls. Choice can be a reality everywhere. But to get there, countries need to empower women to decide about their own bodies and shape their own futures, free from discrimination and inequality. I thank you very much, and I look forward to hearing from our other speakers. Thank you.